You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last month, Labor ruled out the possibility of a wealth and capital gains tax should they be re-elected. But the polls seem to be telling quite a different story about what Aotearoa wants. When we look at One News's latest poll, 63% of New Zealanders are in favour of a wealth tax if it paid for universal dental care. Today I spoke with Professor of Tax Law at the University of Auckland, Craig Eliff, about the economic viability of a wealth tax in Aotearoa and how the country would adapt if this policy was implemented. I began by asking him why he thought that Labour ruled it out.
Look, I think it's partly politics. I think there's a difference here between wealth taxes and capital gains taxes. Wealth taxes are far more unorthodox and not generally accepted around the world, whereas capital gains taxes are found consistently in nearly all other OECD jurisdictions.
The Greens want to introduce an income guarantee plan, which would be funded by a wealth tax. How big of a change would this be to our tax system, and how easily do you think Aotearoa would adapt?
Well, I think that's the point. It's an absolutely radical change. It's on a scale of changes where it's difficult to get orthodox tax changes. This is completely heretical. It's untested. So I'm very concerned about the economic consequences that would flow if it were to be implemented without, I guess, a great deal of discussion and a great deal of thinking about. And I can understand that these are popular policies, a bit like removing GST on food, on fresh fruit and vegetables, but it's not deeply thought through about the impact on the tax system and on the, more than the tax system, it's actually consequences for the wider economy.
Prime Minister Chris Hipkins says now is not the right time for a big change to our tax system with the amount of people struggling with the cost of living, while co-leader of the Green Party, Marama Davidson, says that the most recent One News poll showed overwhelming support for a wealth tax and that Labour needs to step up. From an economic perspective and in the context of the cost of living, which course of action do you think would set Aotearoa in good stead?
Okay, well, if we take the big picture, something needs to be done in terms of our tax policy because the population is ageing and we can't keep on relying on wage and salary earners to support a demographic which is going to lead to the reduction of workers and an increase to people receiving transfer payments and hospital care. So there's definitely a need for a structural tax change. But I think the Prime Minister is right that we ought not to sense that need and then grasp hold of a risky strategy. As I return to the idea, it's heretical. It's not orthodox. So it really does mean that we would run the risk of a significant economic flight of capital of wealthy people allocating in particular across the Tasman. Now, that would mean quite severe economic consequences for the country, I think. You know, and I know they can't move land, but they can move all their other assets and they can move themselves. And I would think the Prime Minister is right, but it's a shame that in the same breath as he ruled out wealth taxes, which I see as heresy, he also ruled out capital gains taxes, which are far more conventional. So it's quite a different set of circumstances. We are definitely facing a significant change. It's just the question is whether this is quite the right time. I think I agree with his assessment on that.
If now is not the right time, is there a right time for implementing a wealth tax in Aotearoa?
Great. Well, you're right. That's a great question. Well, look, I'll tell you what. One thing would have to happen, I believe. I think there would need to be much more universal acceptance of it in other jurisdictions. If we decide to go it alone, boldly, where no one has been before, we're really talking about very, very few countries around the world. So Norway have just introduced one, and there's been a flight of Norwegian wealthy people out of that jurisdiction. Switzerland has one, but Switzerland's wealth tax is imposed on a canton-by-canton basis, which means effectively that the wealthy people live in the cantons that don't have very high rates of wealth tax. Most of the other countries that used to have a wealth tax have abolished it because, firstly, it didn't collect much revenue, and secondly, they found it was outdated and destroying, if you like, economic value for their country because of our capital flight. So I think if we are going to have a wealth tax, it would be at a point in time when the rest of the world is saying, This is a good logical development. It's like a reaction that we are having because for political reasons we haven't been able to introduce the capital gains tax. When you tax the store of wealth, there's no guarantee that there's been any increase in the value of that wealth. In fact, it could well have declined. There's no flow of income to actually pay the tax necessarily. So you do end up with many circumstances where you've got illiquid assets and it's hard to get access to the payment, to the cash to pay the tax, and people are having to sell assets to pay the tax.
Do you think that the majority support for a wealth tax recently represented in the polls at 63% comes as a surprise?
No, probably not surprise in the sense that I'm not sure how many people have actually carefully explained the differences between wealth and capital gains taxes and how many people have carefully understood the economic consequences that might flow from introducing a wealth tax. It's probably just simplistically people saying, well, I wouldn't have to pay it and someone else will give me something. Well, that isn't the end of the economic argument. It's looking at, you know, the burdens that people, you know, have to take responsibility for. And the wealth tax is not in substitution for an income tax. It will become very easy to be caught by the definition of what is wealth, given that the average family home is approximately $1 million. So it's not surprising that there is this viewpoint out there, but I just don't know that people have fully understood all the consequences and also in particular how mobile capital is and how unconventional a wealth tax is.
Does its unconventional nature make it impossible, you know, an impossible notion?
No, I don't think it's impossible, but it is risky. And why is it risky? It's risky because the possibility of capital flight, people leaving the country. Many wealthy people already have holiday homes in Australia. And I'll just use Australia as an example. They'll just go and live in their place in Brisbane or Sydney, and they'll come here periodically to see the family in New Zealand. So I think it's unconventional nature, if you like, or non-universal acceptance around the world will lead to the fact that it's the sort of tax that you do not want to be one of a very small group of countries that are introducing it, in contrast to a more universal tax. So that's the issue. It is highly economically risky.
In June, the Greens announced their income guarantee plan. Today, I spoke with co-leader of the Green Party, Marama Davidson, about this plan and started by asking her what exactly this would mean for individuals.
Yeah, I was proud to announce our income guarantee, which will lift every family out of poverty and make sure that everyone, including students and people who are out of paid employment, can afford and can get what they need, even when times are tough. So whether you're working or not, everyone will be guaranteed the $385 per week. There are extras if you have children, like $135 each week if you're caring for children on your own. And there's also the tax-free threshold of the first $10,000, which will benefit everyone earning under $125,000 will pay less tax. That's 3.7 million, 95% of the population. So I guess it's really just a way to have that assurance that no matter what, people will be able to get the basic needs and more top up if you are raising children.
How will the plan be funded?
With our wealth tax and a new top rate of income tax. So the wealth tax is a 2.5% wealth tax on assets, so that's things like properties or shares, that are worth more than $2 million as an individual or $4 million, obviously, as a couple, and that's without debt or mortgages. So that has to be, you know, fully debt-free. If you have got amassed wealth of more than $2 million, then there is a 2.5% wealth tax to pay on that. And that obviously will not affect most family homes, for example, or retirement savings.
Chris Hipkins said in a statement in June that the amount of people struggling with the cost of living means that this simply isn't the right time for big changes to the tax system. Why do the Greens think that it is the right time?
Now is exactly the right time for the bold solutions that the Greens are putting forward. People are struggling and some people are not. And it's long past time to correct that, especially right now. So, you know, it is only the Greens that can push that across the line, that are brave and courageous, but also have done the robust policy work to show that this is achievable. Now is exactly the right time because far too many people are struggling, not just people who are not in paid employment. Many families, including people in paid employment, people on lowest and middle incomes, are finding the cost of living just too much of a struggle, and it is totally unnecessary for that to be the case. So we have a way of fixing that. We have a way of ending poverty together, and I'm really proud that we have put that plan out there, you know, right since back in June.
I spoke to a University of Auckland professor in taxation earlier who said he had big concerns about the impact on the tax system a wealth tax would have and its consequences on the wider economy. What are your thoughts on this?
We can already see the consequences on the wider economy right now by continuing to see families struggle. The economy is people, and when people are struggling and when we've got children living in poverty, when we've got people living in unaffordable homes that are mouldy and unhealthy, our economy ends up paying for that too. So I wish that your economist would have taken a far more modern approach to modern economics, which is being more holistic in the overview of what an economy actually is. When you have to end up paying for the social services, the health impacts, the education impacts, the justice impacts that result down the road from not supporting people to not live in poverty, then that is also a struggle for our economy. And it's just the right thing to do. There is absolutely no economic or moral or practical reason why we cannot end poverty. That is purely a political choice, and actually modern economists know this. The inequality gap that has risen in the past few years because of COVID impacts has seen the super wealthy rake it in for no reason at all other than the market forces. That is simply not good economics at all. So we must rebalance wealth and redistribute. That is the best thing to stimulate local economies, which are the most important economies, small and local medium businesses. When you have people in the community who have been struggling and have more cash, have more funds in their pocket, where are they going to spend it? They're going to spend it locally. They're going to spend it at local hairdressers, local bakeries, local shops. Whereas when the higher income bracket have more wealth, they shove it offshore, they spend it on overseas trips, they put it into assets, and that actually doesn't stimulate the local small and business economy, small and medium business economies at all. So, yeah, I'm really, really proud that we actually have a plan to stimulate the economy, which is actually the well-being of people.
The polls have been telling us that the majority of Aotearoa is in fact in favour of a wealth tax. And the most recent One News poll showed us that the number of individuals in favour is 63% if it paid for universal dental care. From the Greens' perspective, why is Labour then not adopting such a policy?
That is, I know you asked from the Green perspective, which is very smart, but I really cannot speak to what their strategy is. All I know is that they could be braver. We want to form the most progressive government in Aotearoa, and we know that everyone should be able to see that our policies are landing well, because people can see it's just wrong. It's just completely wrong and unnecessary to have a few people holding the bulk of the wealth in Aotearoa, while 50% of the lowest income households and people are having to scrap over 2% or less than 5% of the whole nation's wealth. You know, that is simply not sustainable. It's wrong. It leads to further unrest and lack of community cohesion. it actually leads to bigger fiscal costs down the road. So, you know, people want this, and the overwhelming majority of people supporting our free dental plan paid for by our wealth tax, that support comes from every political party support. So supporters of Labor and the Greens, yes, overwhelming support, well above 80%, I believe. And even national supporters are overwhelming support, I think, even, you know, around 50% or more. Even they support free dental paid for by wealth tax, and even ACT supporters have a really huge support. So, you know, people can see what's right and what's wrong, but we're not just offering what we know is right. We're offering a robust policy work behind it to back it up. My message to people, to voters, to people not knowing really who to consider, the Greens, and only the Greens, having the strongest influence over the next government, will be able to rebalance wealth, will be able to take the strongest action, will be able to make sure people live in affordable, healthy homes, will have free dental, will have clean power payments, so homes are cheaper to heat. And all of these things are what the Green Party has put up. We're really proud of our growing supporting campaign because people can see that we are the difference that Aotearoa needs, and you can vote for it. We can have that. The more support we get, the bigger influence and bigger hand we have in the next government, the more chance we have of getting our solutions over the line.
That was Manama Davidson, co-leader of the Green Party, speaking to me about the Greens' income guarantee plan. Before that, I spoke to Professor Craig Iliff about the economic viability of a wealth tax in Aotearoa and a capital gains tax, and the national support we have seen for a wealth tax recently represented in the polls.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.